This week's episode is brought to you by Fat Gingers Becoming Famous.
There's hope for us all.
There's hope for me. There's hope.
A dramatic reading in a while. Is there a shitty song that's been out?
Well, the problem is there's a lot of shitty songs that have been out, but none of them are like it's got to be comically bad writing and like
Hot Llama Dama.
Well, that's shit. The thing. I think we might have set the bar a little too high by going with arguably the perfect song for a dramatic reading, like very early on with Hot Dama Llama 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 Llama, because that song is so nonsense. That, like, it's the perfect one to be like, you may have heard this song, but did you ever actually hear this song? Because this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. I honestly really haven't even heard too many garbage songs lately. I know they exist. I just kind of, I've been successfully living in my world without it.
Yeah. I was at the gym the other day, and they've been having, like, you know how the gyms, they have, like, their own little TV station where they just play their own, like, music videos and, like, commercials and shit like that kind of crap? Well, X-Sport and LA Fitness both do it. But,
I was gonna say, the Y does not do that.
Yeah, they just play TV shows. Or just TV. But, they had a ad for, it's like, Rising Country Star. Already forgot her name. Never heard of her before. It's like, with her hit song, blah, 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 enter and win a Nashville trip to Nashville to meet her and listen, you know, to a live concert. I'm like, I've literally never heard of this person. Like, who are you?
Yeah, it's, there's definitely a lot of people that are pretty famous nowadays that are just really, like, I mean, we've been saying this forever, that the lack of, like, individuality or any sort of personality or any sort of quality or like just I don't know, because I remember we were recording and the CMAs were on and I was looking over at the screen and they were constantly panning to the crowd. I'm just like, oh, look at that random white dude with the same fucking haircut. Oh, look at that random white dude with the same fucking haircut. Oh, look, there's another guy with the same fucking haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, hello, welcome to the HodgePodgecast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
I live in a giant bucket.
Tuesday's coming. Did you bring your coat?
Oh, man.
Anyway.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. So this week, we were going to do an artist. We're going to skip a few weeks, and then we'll do them again, because I was busy at work, and Kevin's never can listen to music at work, so we just couldn't get a list together for the artist, and we didn't want to do them injustice because they're a band that we love, and we didn't want to be, well, we're always rambling idiots, but we didn't want to be super rambling idiots because we actually do love their music and wanted to do it justice.
Exactly.
So we're going to push them back a few weeks because obviously next week is Thanksgiving, so we're going to do something Thanksgiving related, and then the week after that is always the first week of the month. We do the best of the previous month, so we'll be talking about November albums, and then after that, we will do this artist, and it'll give us time to listen, it'll give us time to memorize.
Yeah!
Nice
little taser there.
Yeah, so this week, we wanted to talk, we're like, Luke Combs just won awards. His album is the biggest album in country music right now, so we figured, fuck it, let's talk about the rise of Luke Combs, because if you've been listening since the beginning, or if you've gone back and listened since the beginning, we have been talking about Luke Combs since episode one, when Hurricane was, I think maybe, we started recording, probably it was just hitting radio. Like, because because we started recording in March of 2016? I think.
No.
Or was it?
Yeah.
Was it no. 20? Maybe March of 2017. Is it 2016 or 2017? I don't remember.
I think it had 17, because if it was in 16, then we would have had. This would be the like fourth year of doing it. I think we're only in three.
Yeah. So yeah, 2017. So we started early. Let's see. When did this song hit? When did that song hit number one?
It hit number one in 2016. I can just see.
Did it hit 2016?
I can just see that it says 2016. I can click on it and see what happens.
It reached number one May 17th of 2017. So we started 2 months before this hit number one. So it was rising on the charts.
Speaking of Hurricane, can we talk about how really cool the album art on the Hurricane single was compared to how dog shit all of his album covers have been since?
I can't believe how fucking bad they are. Like, as a graphic designer, it genuinely offends me that people think that that's a good cover.
Like, honestly, like, the thing, and it's not even, like, the hand-drawnness that pisses me off so much. Like, his latest album, which is called something. What's it called?
You See What You Get or whatever.
What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get.
The thing that pisses me off the most about that one is the weird shade of gray in the background of it all. It's just like, what the fuck are we doing right now? It's just, it's the most off-putting album cover I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's it looks like his like middle school-aged brother drew it. Like, is that what happened?
Well, that's the thing. I remember when the previous one.
What you see is what you
that's,
get.
No, that's,
see, this one's for you.
Yes, I was just saying. Like, I feel like they're just they're similarly named, even though they're not, but they are. When that came out, I remember it. They did have something where he said like he did make it. Like, the reason it looked stupid and like drawn by an amateur is because it was. It's because he was the one that did it. And I was like, okay, fine, cool, whatever. And you're doing this whole like stained glass thing, so I think it looks really dumb. But you did it, and you're standing by it. Cool. That should be the debut, and then that should be the end of that. When you start getting into this where it looks like he's just like, I'm going to be making my own album art forever, it's like, all right, someone needs to sit him down and be like, fucking stop it. You're a big deal now. Fucking stop it.
Yeah, you can pay someone to do this. I mean, even look at the prequel EP cover.
That's the thing. The EPs have good album art. I mean, some of them have kind of stupid shit, but like the EPs have good album art, and then all of a sudden he just goes to an album and he's just like, what if I finger paint it? I'm going to finger paint and it's going to be great. And they're just like, I see no problem here. But I mean, to be completely honest, if the album art is the biggest concern, it's like, okay, that's really not that big a deal. It just makes no sense to me how a guy who is as, you know, like this, like what we're talking about this whole time is like such a meteoric rise in the level that he's sitting at right now in the country world where he's the biggest name in country. Like, I don't think you could argue that in terms of just like hotness right now that there's anyone else that is more hot than he is, you know?
All right. Put that in perspective. Here's what's happened. Since 2016, when Hurricane was re-released, we'll get into that in a minute. Hurricane, 4 times platinum. When It Rains, It Pours, 3 times platinum. One Number Away, 2 times platinum. She Got the Best of Me, platinum. Beautiful Crazy, 3 times platinum. Beer Never Broke My Heart, platinum. Even Though I'm Leaving, it came out not that long ago, gold already.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 other songs from his albums that aren't singles that have charted. That, in 2 albums, that's fucking
insane. Yeah, no,
it's,
I would say the last time I can remember a band or an artist coming out and having such immediate success where like everything that comes off the album immediately charts well and like, you know, really performs is when Zac Brown first came out.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And so to compare, I mean, granted, Zac Brown has done what the Joker said, where you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a douchebag. And he managed to ruin everything. So there are people who could be listening right now who don't remember the glory days of Zac Brown. It's like, fuck Zac Brown. I don't give a shit about Zac Brown. And like, you know what? You're right. However, when Zac Brown first came out, It was incredible. Everything on that album was great. He released a follow-up album. Everything on that was great. Everything he put to radio was great. It just worked, and it was awesome. And you're just like, "This, fuck you, King George. We're going to have 110 number one songs. We're just on fire." So to see another guy come out and do it again, I mean, to be completely honest, it to me comes down to his voice is so good, and he's just like so relatable that there's so many people that are just like, I dig it. Like, even if he's not your like go-to guy, so many people listen to any number of these songs that went number one or charted. They're just like, I like it. Just I like it.
So to go back quickly,
accessibility.
To go back, yeah, exactly. But to go back quickly to the Zac Brown thing, as you said, their first, about 10 singles went either number one or number two. Their first, Chicken Fried was first, 6 times platinum, whatever it is, 2 times platinum, Toes 3 times platinum, then platinum, 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 2 times, 3 times platinum. Like, yeah, that's their meteoric rise. And recently, their last, 4, it was Castaway from Jekyll and Hyde, which peaked at 14, Mild Man, which from Welcome Home, 14, Roots, 36, Someone I Used to Know, which isn't even a country song, 29. Like, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen to Luke Combs, but it just goes to show that, yes, Zac Brown had that meteoric rise instantly, too. And,
as long as Luke Combs doesn't decide to keep adding band members but excluding them from his actual recorded work, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah. It's like the, I think actually you made this joke last time, the Dewey Cox thing, when it's just like that goat has more airtime than me or whatever.
That's literally it. It's like you have this, especially their latest one, the album cover for The Owl, where they're all just standing there. It's like, you've got this picture of the supposed band, but I just listened
on the album more.
I just listened to this fucking song, and I do not hear any of these people.
I don't hear
except
a single
for you.
Fiddle.
Yeah, like what the fuck is going? Like, what are these people doing? Like, what are they doing? What are they doing? They got a good gig. I want that gig. It's like the backup quarterback job, like behind someone who will never get hurt or pulled. It's
like,
just like all
Blue
you
Mountain,
do is hang
Blue
out.
Blue Mountain State.
Exactly. Like, that's the perfect job. Being one of the, like, 11 band members in the Zac Brown Band, where, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting to the point where he's like Snoop Dogg and one of those guys is just straight up like a joint roller. He's just the joint roller. That's what he does. Because
like
it doesn't
star.
Make any sense.
Exactly. That punches me in the face to remind me of where I came from.
Remind me where I came from.
Exactly. But anyway, with Luke Combs, so yeah, I hate the hipster thing of like, I liked them before they were popular type thing, but this is one guy who Kevin and I were just telling people, like, you need to listen to this guy.
Yes.
And, of course, everyone ignored me because unless the radio tells you, they're not going to pay attention. But, his birthday is the same as, whose birthday is March 2nd in our family?
March 2nd? It's right, that's the day after mine. But
I know it's the day after yours and my mom's, but I thought someone's
I don't
that
think
day.
Anyone's on the 2nd. Kelsey's on February 2nd.
Oh. Well, he's March 2nd, 1990.
He's older than me. That bastard. I knew that, but that bastard.
Yeah. Which means in 1 year I'm going to be
him. Here's the perfect example. In 2016, Jay got married. At his wedding, I got to choose 2 songs.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was Hurricane, which, you know, in retrospect, clearly not a wedding-type song, but no one listened to the words anyway, so
but
we're fine.
But you and I fucking jammed to
we
this song.
We jammed the fuck out, and no one in that room recognized it at all. This is the June of 2016. Hurricane's about to in the Times Platinum, but in June of 16, we play this song at that wedding, and not a single soul other than us recognizes it at all.
Yeah, and
to
I remember,
think about that is insane.
I still remember because, yeah, that's a song obviously I had been listening to since it came out in 2015 when we saw him at an empty bar.
Yes.
I mean, it was Joe's Bar, which is a bigger bar, but it was still empty. But yeah. I remember one night Doug was at a wedding or something and he had a bunch of drunk friends, so I had to go pick him up because I'm a nice person. And I'm just having my songs on shuffle, as I always do, just my iPad or iPod playing, and fucking Hurricane comes on, and the girl in the back is singing it. I'm like, I literally didn't know anyone knew this song. Like, and I remember when it was first on the radio, I took a picture of it. I sent it to you. I'm like, dude, Hurricane's on the fucking radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? That's insane. Like, Luke Combs is actually getting things. And just to think that he would go from a guy we thought he'd be, honestly, I thought he'd just be kind of a one and done guy. Like, Hurricane would go number one and be like, yeah, that was great. Now, you're the next band, Perry. Please move out of the way. Yeah. Like that. I thought, yeah. Honestly, I thought that kind of thing was going to happen. In no way did I ever think everything he'd be doing would be platinum. Like,
no,
everything he touches is platinum right now.
It's such a weird feeling, and I know there's probably people who are listening to this and being like, you guys have fucking said this before, you fucking idiots. And I'm like, yeah, I know I have. But if there has been an artist where you can distinctly remember the times when they weren't big at all, and I'm not talking like, you know, oh, I saw, you know, like when we saw Chris Young open up for Alan Jackson. That, I'm not talking about a guy performing in an arena to people who's got radio support behind him already. Like, I'm talking about Luke Combs' EP had like a couple thousand total streams on all the different songs on his EP that was on Spotify when we found it. And now he's at hundreds of millions. It's just a completely different world. And there is a part of me, and I have to admit this, that always has the stupid hipster in the back of my head where I'm like, well, you guys don't get it. I knew it before. And it's the worst attitude ever because it's just dumb. And I hate to, like, look at his new stuff too much and be like, well, his old stuff was so much better. Because he does have a lot of good newer stuff. His song, Even Though I'm Living,
And his old songs, he had shitty ones. Like, Sure, If You Want To, it's a dumb song.
It's fun, though.
Beer Can, it's a dumb song. Yeah.
It's fun, though.
Like, yeah, they're fun, and they're country, which is the thing we can't complain about.
And that's the thing, and that's what I'm getting to, is that it's honestly amazing to me, because this is, like, the first guy that I've really liked before he was huge, because, I mean, there's artists that I liked that were kind of, like, but back when we liked Jason Aldean, he wasn't huge, but he was known enough. Like, he was touring with people as an opener
or
a co-headliner of a smaller thing. But not as big as to where he was now. But this is, like, the first guy that we listened to who we really, really liked. And then throughout the process of quote-unquote selling out has not really thrown the whole formula away. Granted, he's only got like the two albums out, so we have plenty of time for him to Chris Young himself. Mm-hmm. But thus far, it really does seem like people are resonating with his just, you know, his kind of, you know, simple, I don't know, fucking fat redneck wearing a fishing shirt. Like, that deal is resonating with people, and I don't think people want to see him sing the really, really stupid shit that people like all those random white dudes with the same fucking haircut wearing a V-neck white shirt. Like, I don't think they want to hear him sing that. And that gives me a lot of hope for the future that he's not going to completely abandon his ways. Granted, he has had some songs off of his latest albums that I've thought had way too much production and were not that great. But in the bones of it, is still country songs. It might be more pop country than I would like, but it's not like, I mean, when you think about some of the hard sellout moments, I still remember the first time I fucking heard Burning It Down, and I was like, I don't care if I ever hear a Jason Aldean song as long as I live now. It was so horrendous that I straight up would swear him off in a second. Dude, nothing he's done is anything close to that.
When Chris Young released that fucking Justin Bieber sounding song, I was just like, all right, he's done. He's given up. He's letting Nashville tell him what to do. That's exactly what's fucking happening. And that's the nice thing about Luke Combs is not to say that he has to do any of this, but like, he hasn't just fucking dropped 60 pounds suddenly where he has a six pack and he's tan as shit. He still has an ugly ass neck beard that honestly, he does need to trim that thing.
That,
it's fucking disgusting.
That could go.
And he's so huge that, yeah, he's still wearing a fishing shirt and a camo hat. He's not, I mean, granted, it's a dumb uniform, but
it's
he's still doing
now,
that. Yeah. It was a shtick when we were still listening, when he started with him, but he is so huge that he tells people what to do. People don't tell him what to do. There's nothing, you can't tell him what to sing. All of his songs are still written by him.
That's why 90% of them reference beer at some point in the song.
Yeah, because he's a fat bro, but
he likes beer. But yeah. But you can tell that that's him saying, "I want to fuck this beer," and not someone else writing that you should fuck this beer.
Do you want to fuck this burger?
That does remind me of not to go completely off tangent, but one of the only jokes that I really thought was fucking hilarious from Amy Schumer's sketch show was the fucking dickhole beer. You ever see that one? It was literally, it was an advertisement for a beer brand that just had a fucking a cylinder through the center of it. So you could, it's just like, what's the worst part of like trying to go out? It's just like trying to find a girl and like have your beer. Well, now you can just fuck your beer. And it was hilarious.
That's really funny. Let's see.
I wanted to actually make a point off of what you were saying. Like you were saying, he is kind of captaining the ship of the mainstream right now. Like he's the hot thing, and so my hope is that since Nashville is just a whole land full of people who copy other people, that this is going to be good for country music in the long run, because I think there are going to be a lot of people that are just like, okay, we've got this fat neckbeard redneck, and he's singing whatever he wants to sing. I'm not putting on your fucking skinny jeans and doing a half-assed R&B rap song. I want to sing about the shit I want to sing about. I am hopeful that that is what's occurring.
Yeah. I was just looking at the article, and it was talking about how his last album was number one for 50 straight weeks, which is...
That is so long.
Or not 50 straight. I think it's 50 total weeks.
That's still a lot. That's almost a year.
Yeah. And it's insane. This first album, it had 172,000 albums sold in the first week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's insane. Just... Yeah, the whole thing we want to do this episode is we listen to The Way She Rides and the Can I Get an Outlaw. I remember, like we said before on this podcast, sorry to anyone who's listened before, we were listening to him when only She Got the Best of Me was out, and not the shitty fucking redo.
No, that is
OG on Can I Get an Outlaw.
Yeah, and that is a thing that I do still forever have a bone to pick with him, is that he fucking re-recorded She Got the Best of Me to make it more upbeat sounding and fucking produced, and I do not like that.
Yeah, the original version of it was perfect as is. And I'm looking at this, which is crazy, that this one's for you. It only, despite selling just like crazy, it only peaked at 24 in country.
Interesting.
It's just sold so much. How does that make sense? That does not make sense.
The peak shit.
Oh wait,
now
I'm looking at
takes the streams and shit into play, because like Jinx, his two albums have been like the top selling country albums like in the weeks immediately after he released them, but they're not charting at all because he doesn't have millions and millions of fucking streams and shit that are fake and shit.
No, I'm retarded. It went number one. It was the EP. Remember, it was the same name.
Oh, yeah.
The EP peaked at 24,
which is he's done twice now, where he's had an EP and then he just releases like a second EP and then calls it an album with them two stuck together.
Yeah, and I can't wait for when fucking What You See Is What You Get 2 comes out, like he did with fucking This One's For You.
Yeah,
where he did This One's For You 2, added like three songs to it. I mean, hey, you're reselling the same shit to people.
Make the money. Make the money off the idiots.
Yeah. This guy's been owning country music for 3 years now. I mean, he's been owning it for two. He's had number one since for three. But the fact that he only has two albums. He had an arena tour with one album out.
Yeah, that's honestly the other thing that I think is amazing, is before the full-length album of... This One's For You came out, all he had were those few EPs. And then all of a sudden he started selling these tour dates out. And I remember thinking, like, obviously we haven't gone to see him in these arenas, so we don't know what the show's like. But I remember thinking, well, I don't know what he's going to play.
I think actually before his album came out, he was playing arenas, but he was opening for Brantley Gilbert.
Remember? Oh, fucking Brantley Gilbert.
It was when his... Yeah, granted,
I knew it was bad, but I liked it bad. You know, it's just, but now it's just more.
And it was like, and then I forgot about that. We did talk about it. In June of this year, he was invited to be the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. 3 years after his new fucking... his first album.
And then I wonder if they have it on this Wikipedia that I'm looking at. But isn't it a stat or a fucking tidbit that he didn't even start playing the guitar until like 21?
Yeah, he started playing in college and dropped out of college to pursue his music career.
So the fact that this guy, and like if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't listened to Luke Combs, what are you doing? But also, if you've listened to this guy, you've heard how powerful and raw and just, I mean, powerful is the best way to describe his voice. Is just incredible. To have that and then just to be like at 21, like, oh, I'm just going to pick up the guitar, see what happens. And now he's fucking 29, so like... Not that many years have passed, and his whole deal is completely, it's crazy.
I've been playing guitar longer than him.
Yeah.
I've been playing for 10 years. I mean, but the thing is honestly, his guitar skills are only as good as mine.
That's true. It's not like he's out there ripping it up with the guitar, but like, as a person who writes music, like, to write music and to write good music, you've got to like have that music ability. You know, singing's one thing, but you have to have that understanding of how songs work. And then having a guitar to play while you write a song is a much better way to structure things so that it actually sounds good. I don't know how, like, you know, granted, he could have been writing songs all throughout his youth when he was clearly a good singer, but he probably wasn't really starting to write songs until he was in college when he picked up the guitar.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I'm looking at this. He has been singing since he was a kid.
Yeah.
He didn't start playing guitar.
No, he was probably the choir, you know, church choir, maybe high school choir, all that sort of shit. So, like, obviously, he's a singer, and that's obvious. Like, he didn't just at 21 decided, I'm gonna sing now. Just
like I'm a decent singer. I'm not great, but like, if I were to be in a band, the fact that I only play rhythm guitar would be covered up by people playing music, and I would be a good enough singer to hold my own. It's just that his voice is so amazing that when he can only strum chords and he's singing acoustically, that voice carries. It's not it's not the guitar that's needed for it.
And I think, you know, I don't know why they've keep deciding to overproduce his later works, other than the fact that they want it to sound similar to other mainstream country, so people
make it radio
friendly. Yeah, so the people that listen to the radio can listen to it. But I don't know. I mean, like, he's so good, stripped down, that I don't understand why they don't just fucking just let him belt it out. Is his album the one that had a really fucking like a really stripped down song? And then, like, the rest of it comes in, or what fucking album came out recently that had that? I'm losing my mind. Wait, there's some album that just came out recently where, like, the start of it is, like, doesn't even sound professional recording quality. It just sounds like a dude on his porch singing. And then the production comes in about halfway through, and it was super cool. I can't remember if it was a song on his album or if it was a song on someone else's.
I'm not entirely sure.
This is going to fucking piss me off. I can't figure this out.
So I just looked at Even Though I'm Leaving, which, as we said, when that prequel came, that song is, it's as good as She Got the Best of Me in Hurricane. Like, it is that good of a fucking song. But I'm looking at it. It came out as a single in September, and it's already number one. So
that's
Actually, it was it went number one in October, so it's just been.
Oh yeah, no, it was Luke Combs. I want to say it was the song "Dear Today."
Possibly. I don't really. I honestly, I only listened to the new album like twice. I didn't really listen to it too many times, so I don't know it that well yet.
Yeah, I can pretty much guarantee it's that song, "Dear Today," and it was like when I was listening through it, I was just kind of like, yeah, no, this is fine, it's fine. You know, these songs, I get a few of these songs are good, or you know, I've already heard them, whatever. And then that happened, and I'm just like, yes, this is the kind of nugget on an album on the B side that it's the kind of shit that keeps you coming back. Mm-hmm. Where I know he's too famous now for him to release an album that by my standards and wants and whatever, I'm gonna love song one through the end. It's just not gonna happen. There's gonna be some songs in there that I'm just meh on, mm-hmm. and there might be some that I don't like. But that kind of shit, it's like the, you know, it's like fucking who was other artists like Paisley, where you know he could release some shit that really pisses me off, but then he's got something on there. It's like, oh shit, that's really good. Keeps you coming back, and as long as he keeps doing that, I'm going to be really, really excited to see him continue his career, because what he's done thus far, obviously meteoric rise, but what he's done thus far includes some really, really good stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking at just, you know, all of his shit on here, and how 8 years into singing, quote-unquote, professionally, and he's won CMA Male Vocalist. Like, how?
Yeah.
Just, it's not fair.
Yeah, nominated for Grammy.
He was?
For Best New Artist, Grammy.
Jesus Christ.
Didn't win it, but nominated for it, and it was apparently this year. That's pretty cool.
Let's see.
You know, CMT Awards, who gives a shit? Billboard Awards, whoever, who gives a shit? But, I mean,
whoever the fuck...
that's crazy.
Dua Lipa won.
Yeah, Dua Lipa, I've actually heard that name, so I know that she is famous.
Dua Lipa. There's a person...
I'm a Dua Lipa.
There was a person last...
Dua Lipa.
There was a person last year nominated whose name is Lil Uzi Vert.
No, most people have heard of him.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, no, most people who are not you have actually heard of
it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know people. Margo.
I couldn't tell you what his song is. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to fucking figure it out.
Lil Uzi Vert. Fucking stupid name.
Because he's either part of something. What is he a part of? Is he a part of something?
Emo rap is what his genre is on Wikipedia.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's god awful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating people listen to him. It's just that he's been heard
his associated acts are DJ Drama, Don Cannon, Gucci Mane, Playboi Carti, and Young Thug.
Oh, he was on one of the Migos songs. That's why.
Yeah, he looks like a upstanding citizen. Anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely looks like he enunciates all of the words in all of his songs.
All right. Quickly, before we move on.
So, all right, random. Looking at this list of nominees for the Best New Artist, they just decided to nominate like 1,000 people this year, and then they used to only nominate 5?
Yeah, I don't understand how fucking award shows work anymore. Oh shit.
Yeah, it's weird. I
forgot to look up a number one song for this week.
Oh my god.
I'm just trying to think of
Zach Brown Band won Best New Artist back in 2010.
Hey.
This is really terrible radio. Sorry everyone listening.
Yeah.
I'm just scrolling through this and just like, oh, look at these people.
But yeah, to kind of wrap up the whole Luke Combs thing, I just saw an article today about Luke Combs, and it just really got me thinking. I was just like, holy fuck, this the amount of success this man has already is unfucking believable. And it's not that he doesn't deserve it or anything, obviously. Like, the dude is a goddamn monster, but he mm-hmm. with an amazing fucking voice, like Stapleton level quality voice. And it's just crazy to think that, one, a man with this much talent is, you know, doing as well as he is, but two, the fact that people aren't, he's not famous because, oh my god, he's so hot. I mean, obviously his hot wife thinks that he's hot and whatever, but.
I mean, have you seen that beard that stops below his chin and then has, like, almost a mustache?
Yeah, but it's just not, like, the fact that this is the, I mean, obviously I hate when people are like, oh, it's inclusive and all, but the fact that he's a very everyman-looking guy who can do what he's done.
He's the first one that's come through country in a long time that legitimately looks authentically like a country person. Mm-hmm. Not some dude that grew up in the fucking suburbs or in California and has always been, you know, prim and proper, and then they just put a cowboy hat on him and said, hey, sing these words. Like, this is the first guy that's become really, really, and especially in the social media era, he's the first one that's really skyrocketed and been super authentic. And granted, you could, to everything I've just said, you could also be like, well, what about Stapleton? And that is also a fair argument, except for the fact that Stapleton is so supremely talented, and then when he performed at the whatever show with Justin Timberlake, it was impossible for anyone with ears not to recognize what the fuck that was. Luke Combs came out of nowhere. Just fucking came out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just insane what this person has done especially such a short time.
Yeah, and also to this episode kind of serves to, you know, I don't know. We did a Luke Combs episode, didn't we, after This One's For You came out?
It was like right after the album came out.
So it's been a while since we've talked about him, and obviously his status in the world has changed significantly since then. So it's just kind of a nice way to be like, yes, people, we are aware.
Yeah.
He is, he's doing shit, and it's crazy.
I've had people who are just like, who have asked me like, hey, have you heard of Luke Combs? I'm like, yeah, he's like the biggest name in music right now. Like, of course.
Although we are in danger of being the, our dad saw Alabama at the King County Fair. The more times we say, "Yeah, well, we saw the Cubs at Joe's Bar at the King County Fair."
Yeah, well, I saw Sturgill Simpson for $5 at Rupco in college.
I will kill you because I could have gone.
Yeah, now we haven't. I don't think we talked about that on the podcast. The fact that Sturgill and Tyler Childers are doing an arena tour right now.
Yes, not only are they doing an arena tour, I think they were the first ones since Garth Brooks to sell out the Nashville arena like twice. Like they put open two shows back to back shows and they sold them out.
Wow,
like the first one since Garth to do it.
Yeah, they're playing all
eat a dick, people who aren't Garth.
They're playing Allstate, and I want to go to it, but I hate those huge concerts. I hate
arenas. I really do. I saw Childers last year in Iowa City, and it was great, and I will never forget it for as long as I live.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on from Luke Combs, I don't really have anything else to add about
him. I don't even know if I said anything that whole time that actually made sense, but it happened and there's no taking it back.
This episode sucks. Sorry, everyone.
But we're here and we're recording and recording is happening and we are happening to record.
Exactly. Anyway, so let's talk about, the number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. Other than, I guess, the fact that one song went number one, that even though I'm leaving, it's a great song.
Stepping up in this place, personal space.
Anyway, this song comes from, I just looked up random years, and I finally found one that I like. This one comes from 2000. So
2000! I was alive then.
God, that's 19 years ago. Jesus Christ.
Don't say that out loud. I refuse to believe it.
I know, right? Anyway, this song, it was number one on November 25th, so it's a little in the future of where we are now, but we're kind of in between.
We are the future.
Yeah.
This song is a song by a guy named Phil Vassar, who I want to do an episode on still. We have to do that at some point. But the song is Just Another Day in Paradise.
Just Another Day in Paradise.
This song is
Phil Doe Vaggins.
Boo. But I just like this song. It's that thing of like living life with a family and just everything is going wrong with like the washing machine broke and all this shit. And it's just like, it's just another day in paradise.
Mm-hmm. He does. This song is got that like I would say, like, infectious optimism and happiness to mm-hmm. it. Like, you listen to this song, and you can't help but, like, smile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fantastic... This is one of the first songs I heard by Phil Vassar, actually, and I just... Yeah, I just really love it. It's a great, great song. And it's sad to think that this is the kind of music that used to get played on the radio. It's always...
Yeah, it is. It's certainly disheartening.
Yeah. It always makes me... always makes me a sad man.
Yeah, it's just a weekly kick in the nuts to remember all the good days. Yeah. Well, that's actually, that reminded me, the one thing that's good about the CMAs happening every year is that I always see on my timeline on Twitter popping up the Waylon Jennings signing the CMA award just saying, fuck you. So that comes back around every time the CMAs happen, and I'm like, yes, the good days.
Yeah, so great. Anyway, also moving on, I don't think I've done any of the albums that have come out this year yet, because I'm retarded. So yes. I'll just do all of them that have come out, even though we're already in like the third week of the month, that I've seen. I haven't seen too many this month, actually. So if there's any, text or tweet at Kevin, let him know that, hey, this album's come out. Fucked hard. Why haven't you listened to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and if you don't use those exact words, I swear to God.
First up is Stoney LaRue's Onward. It's a very,
shit,
very good album.
I haven't listened to that yet. Oh, it's
really good.
It's not being able to listen to work at music, not being able to listen to music at work is really not that big a deal while I'm working. It's just when I, because I've gotten used to it, obviously.
Yeah.
But when I get home and I have a limited amount of time to consume media and I realize all the shit that's come out, I'm like, fuck, mm-hmm. what do I do? And then I panic and then I end up watching like the same shit on TV over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's that thing of like when you're flipping through your Netflix list, like, what do I want to start? And then you just start The Office over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next up is Aaron Enderlin's Faulkner County. Very good. Aaron Enderlin, obviously guest of the podcast, friend of the show.
Yeah. Love her.
Yes. It's a fantastic album, though. Next
Hell
up
yes.
is Mickey and the Motor Cars, A Long Time Coming. Also fantastic. It's very... Yep. It sounds
I did
like
listen
them.
To this.
Then, obviously... Yeah,
sounds like them. Sounds good.
Yeah. It's like... I mean, I don't... Obviously, it's a retarded thing to say, but it sounds like classic them. Nothing changed. They're not trying to do anything different.
It's the Red Dirt rock and roll type.
Yeah. Then next up, obviously, Luke Combs, You See, What You See Is What You Get, which obviously we've talked about today.
I have not said a single thing.
Next is an EP by Steve Mokler called Blue Jeans. That guy puts out so much goddamn music, it's kind of weird.
More like Steve Brokler.
Got him. Next up is Larry Fleet's Working Hard. I listened to it when it came out. I haven't listened to it since, so honestly I forgot about it. I'm gonna have to re-listen to it. But it's
working hard or working, comma, hard.
Exactly. And then finally of what actually not finally, second to last is so Kevin's gonna hate this, but I'll just mention it because some people like it. Wade Bowen had a Christmas album come out called 1225. Yeah. Don't have anything else to say about that.
I think I typed out and then deleted about 10 different tweets about to be fired up about fucking Christmas music because I saw some tweet from some random person, not even like a famous person, just some random tweet that got liked by someone that showed up on my timeline, and it was just like, I need Cody Jinks to release a Christmas album. And I'm just like, you're fucking retarded. You're fucking stupid. Shut the fuck up. Christmas music is ass. It's fucking pointless. And I couldn't find a way to like, not, I was not going to tweet at this person, but I was like, I got to let the world know that I hate Christmas music. But I was like, you know what? I think you know. I think you're aware.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look up. I want to say he had a couple like originals on it. Obviously, he has like Silent Night and the ones that you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's an original. Definitely no one has ever recorded that. Certainly not in the last 75 years.
The one thing I do have to say about it, though, is he has a cover of Holly Jolly Christmas on it, and it has one of those moments where, during like the instrumental, they just talk, and I fucking hate that in songs.
Yeah, because it's just a version of a skit, and skits are pointless.
Yeah, because it's like, I think he sings it with his son, which is fine. But he's like, it's like, have cool. a holly jolly Christmas. And then like during the instrumental, he's like, what does holly jolly even mean, Bruce? And he's like, I don't know, Dad. And it's just like, oh, God, stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many problems with so many things. It's just it's just out there. Everyone knows. Everyone knows how I feel. It every year, and like honestly, it's funny because this year it's been a really big year for me. I don't know what it is. It's probably the fact that my sister's going to have a child around Christmas, so I'm all excited for it.
Yay.
But I was not even upset when I started seeing the Christmas decorations going up in like the Hy-Vee and all the other things, and like just the general vibe of Christmas happening so early after Halloween. And I wasn't even pissed off about that. But the one thing I cannot abide is the fact that Christmas music gets its annual pass every year. We just forget about the fact that we've heard all of it all the time forever before.
I mean,
I just got to say it one time and I'm good.
I completely disagree, but I am different. But I do not like it. I remember going into a store on like November 2nd and they were already playing Christmas music. I'm like, that's too early. That's just...
See, that's the thing. I was not nearly as pissed off as I usually am when that happened. I was like, yeah, cool, Christmas, love it. And then the only thing is it's the music. And it's not even the music, it's the music repetition.
Yeah.
That is it. That is literally it. It's the fact that for some reason we're like, I haven't listened to this song in 11 months. It'd be great if I listened to it 45 times in the next month.
I mean, it's the same. I watch Elf every year.
I don't do that. I straight up don't do it. Like, there are people, like Jake was talking about how he's just like, yeah, my tradition is me and Jane watch Home Alone and we set up the Christmas tree. I'm like, that's cool. I'm happy. I don't rewatch the same film to do Christmas. I rewatch movies, but it's not like, cool, 11 months have passed. Time to rewatch the same thing. In anticipation for cold time.
Yeah, I watch Great Pumpkin every year with my mom. I watch Muppet Christmas Carol every year with my family. It's a tradition. But one thing from this album, obviously, before we move on, that you should listen to is him and Cody Canada do a cover of If We Make It Through December on the album, which is
now see,
fantastic.
That is perfectly allowed, because that's not a song that you hear every single year done by 45 different people.
Yeah. Anyway, and then finally, that came out last week or the week before, I don't even remember, Ned Ledoux's Next in Line.
I think I saw, I mean, and I would really hate to say this incorrectly and then have people angry, but I want to say I saw something like Ned Ledoux's, like his daughter passed away in a tragic accident or something like that, like a miscarriage, something bad happened to Ned. And I know that everybody was giving him thoughts and prayers, and that's just fucking tragic. And I wish I knew that I could say it more, you know, accurately and eloquently, but I just know that something shitty happened. And so
2-year-old daughter passed away. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've got, you know, if you're a giving out prayers kind of person, throw some Ned's way, because he's obviously a great artist and just seems like a great dude, and that's just fucking tragic.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have really for this week. The other thing I wanted to say, I don't know who you're listening to, we'll ask you in a second, but I heard this song by Phil Hamilton the other day.
Why do I recognize that name?
He has a couple songs that you've probably heard, like Nothing to Lose. I'm not sure what else, but I heard the song Brazos Wind from his album from 2016. Holy crap, that song is amazing. And I listened to it a bunch, and then I downloaded all his albums because of it. Oh shit, I forgot about this one also. There's an EP called Cowboy Dream by Grayson Jenkins that came out, which is also fantastic.
Alright.
But, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, anything else you've been listening or watching or whatever?
Well, as we discussed on, I believe, the last... Oh, shit.
You've been listening to a lot of Christmas music.
That fucking phone. as we discussed on the last podcast, I think, the John Stork album's incredible, and I've been listening to that a lot.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
Which was released in September, if you didn't know.
Exactly. So before we go, I forgot. I want to talk about... We got a cool message on SoundCloud from a fan. It's really, it's just really heartening, and I love it. So this is from Karen Olson, who's a big fan of the podcast. She was kind enough to write out to us.
And we honestly, it's just the coolest thing in the world to get stuff like this. And so, you know, we don't want to just be like, oh, let's pat ourselves on the back. But you know, we thought it'd be really important that Steve read this one.
Yeah, it's just insane that anyone listens to us. So I just, yeah, it's fucking awesome. So I wanted to read it out, give her a little shout out. So Karen has to say, I'm creator of music blog, which is actually about new releases like yours 108 Best Albums of October 2019. Aren't you mind don't get to your track submitted to new releases listing on blog?
It's the kind of shit that makes me just my heart grow a few sizes too big. Because honestly, every time you, that's when you read that the first time, all I just heard was the fucking, how our baby formed, or the fucking, how girl get pregnant, hurt baby top of his head,
how get pregnant,
hurt baby top of his head,
yeah. Anyway, you can find us on social medias, you can find us at TeePublic, you can find us all over the internet. I don't feel like reading it all right now.
Internet, it exists.
Yeah.
Internet.
Follow Kevin on Twitter at CHPNSHARCH. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's also available on SoundCloud and Spotify and Stitcher and whatever the fuck else. I don't even know. But that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about how thankful we are that Sam Hunt exists. So until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, a good night, and a good Charlotte.
Silver Bells!